Bruchim Abayim, everybody. Another week of Parsha Insights. Be'ezus Hashem, this week, Parshas Chayesor. We're privileged that the Shir tonight has a sponsor, and we're very grateful to our sponsors, to Eddie and Zelda Zemel. They're sponsoring, firstly, as a Schus Refuah Shalema for all the Cholim in Klal Yisrael. We hope tonight that the Chizuk that we get from the Shir, the inspiration, hopefully, from Parsha Insights into Parshas Chayesor, indeed be as a zechus for a complete refuah shalema for all of those cholim in Klal Yisrael. And they're also sponsoring, Eddie and Zelda are also sponsoring to commemorate the yahrzeit of Zelda's sister, Bela Bas Reb David. The yahrzeit is approaching next week, the 29th of Cheshvan. So please have in mind as we learn the Shir Parsha Insights tonight that it's also L'zecher nishmas u'le'iloi nishmas, Bela Bas Reb David, whose yahrzeit is approaching on the 29th of Cheshvan, and be'ezus Hashem that her neshama tahira should have a lichtig gan eden. We're very, very grateful to Eddie and Zelda for their sponsorship, and be'ezus Hashem will hopefully be inspired together tonight from Parsha Insights. Let's begin with the Rashi in the very beginning of the Parsha. We're told, of course, in the first Pasuk that Sarah lived 127 years, but the Rashi, the Pasuk, I should say, doesn't break it up that way. Of course, we know that the Pasuk tells us Me'a Shana, Ve'eshim Shana, Ve'sheva Shanim. Each one is broken down, 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Why is it broken down that way? So, of course, we know Rashi tells us that Bas Kuf Kibas Chet, when she was 100, she was like 20. And that's in respect to sin, to chet, in the sense that a 20-year-old is considered as if she has not sinned, and that's the way, because they're not liable for punishment, that's the way Sarah was, so pure, even at the age of 100. And then Rashi continues. I want to begin tonight with the Pshat al-Pidrush, homiletically. It's a very, very powerful pshat. Look at the words of Rashi again. The Rashi we just opened up with in the beginning of the parsha that says, when she was 100, it was like she was 20. And we just said a moment ago in reference to chet and being free of sin and free of punishment. Look at the phraseology of Rashi. Rashi tells us, bas kuf kibas chof. 100 like 20. I once heard a beautiful explanation. What else could we understand from the life of Sarah Imenu that it means 100 like 20? Every day when we daven shachris, we say a kapitel right before Yehi Chavoyed, before Ashrei. It's a small kapitel. It's from Tehillim. It's the kapitel of Mizmar L'Soida. It's a very, very powerful kapitel. It's one of thanksgiving where we speak our thanksgiving to Hashem. We sing joyous song. Mizmar L'Soid is such a joyous Thanksgiving kapitel of Tehillim. There's another kapitel that we say much later on in Shachris, after Ashrei, before Avol Tzion, after Shmoneh Esrei, and that's one where we beseech Hashem, Lamnatzeach Mizmar L'David, Yancho Hashem B'yayim Sara, please Hashem, we're going through distress, please answer our call, and we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yemalei Hashem Kol Mishal Isecha, please answer all of our requests. Ma'ariv HaRabbeisai, these two kapitlach Tehillim are very different in nature. The first one we mentioned, Mizmar L'Soida, is filled with thanksgiving, with joy, with song. The second one, we call out in distress. Yancha Hashem b'yayim sara. We ask Hashem, please answer us, remember us, support us, and we realize that we turn Hashem, Hoshiya HaMelech Yanenu v'yayim karenu, two very different types of kapitloch in Tehillim. The first one I mentioned, Mizmar L'Soida, is Kapitel Kuf 100. The second one that I just referenced, Lamnatzeach Mizmar L'David, is Kapitel Chof 20. Rashi is also teaching us sometimes in life, a person, when it comes to calling out, they're in distress, they're in pain. Of course they know, Hashem, I'm turning to you. I have nowhere else to turn. Eilav Erechev, Eilav Asusim. But we will only call on Hashem. We're in distress. We're in pain. We need something. How does that person do when it's a matter of thanksgiving? When it's a matter of thanking Hashem, giving toida to Hashem, singing joyously to Hashem? Do they have the same gefil? Do they have the same emotion? Do they have the same passion? Rashi's telling us about Sarah. Kuf kichof. In other words, a play on words, it's a reference to the kapitel of Tehillim. The kapitel kuf, which is the one of Mizmor Lesoida, she said with the same intensity and the same hislavos, the same bren, like the one of Chof. Which is the one of Chof? Lamnatzeach Mizmor LeDavid. What a powerful pshat. Let's ask ourselves in our life, how do we fit in with this pshat? Of course, we know that we turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam in all matzavei achayim, all situations. There is a mashal that we've mentioned on many occasions. We'll quickly say it over. A fellow wanted to be recognized, a bit of recognition. And so he went to the top of a tall skyscraper and he opened up the window and he took a large stack of $20 bills. He undid the rubber band and he threw them many, many dozens of flights to the ground. And as they were coming to the ground, they started to snowflake and cascade. He figured people were going to look up where the $20 bills come from. Nobody looked up. They came from the north and the south and the east and the west. They just grabbed the money. Nobody looked up. Why am I not getting recognized? So then he decided, maybe I need $50 bills. So he took a large stack of $50 bills. He undid the rubber band and he threw them out of the window. And they, of course, went many dozens of flights down. And as they were coming close to the ground, they slowly started to snowflake and cascade onto the floor. And people came from the north and the south and the east and the west, and they grabbed, but nobody looked up. What does a guy have to do to get noticed? Oh, I need $100 bills. So he took a large stack of $100 bills, and he undid the rubber band, and just like the other, the 20s and the 50s, they went hundreds of feet down, and they were cascading, snowflaking so elegantly and beautifully. People came from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Nobody looked up. They just took and grabbed, grabbed and took. Nobody looked up. How do I get noticed? How do I get a bit of recognition? So what did the fellow do? He saw on the dining room table, it was a large, large vase, a crystal vase, a heavy crystal vase. He opened up the window and with all of his might, he took the heavy crystal vase and he threw it hundreds of feet, dozens of flights to the ground, and it made a thunderous, thunderous crash. And when there was a thunderous crash, everybody looked up. Where'd that come from? And in life, when there's a thunderous crash, we look up. It might be emotional, psychological, financial, physical, spiritual. We always look up. And of course, that's the way it should be. But my advice, when the blessings are coming like snowflakes so elegantly cascading into our lives, the parnasa, the shalom bayis, the shidduchim, the gezunt, all of the wonderful brachos, do you look up then? Or do we just grab and take, take and grab without looking up and acknowledging and thanking where they come from? Of course, we have to thank Hashem and look up when there's a thunderous crash, and we do, but the point of the mashal, when those brachos are being snowflaked and cascading, and we come from north and south, east and west to grab and take, do we also look up then to see where they came from? That's what Rashi's telling us about Sarah. Kapitel Kuf is the kapitel of Mizmor L'Soida, the kapitel of thanksgiving and of appreciating the life that you have. Kapitel Chof 20 is the one of calling out in distress. And what we're being told by Rashi in this additional pshat is that the life of Sarah was Kuf Kichof. She led a life where she called out Kapitel Kuf, the life of Mizmor L'Soida, Kichof, the same way, with the same intensity, the same eslavos, and the same passion that she led her life Avlam Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid. In other words, in all Matzavei HaChayim, be it the Mizmor LeSoid of life, or the Lam Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid of life, our Bas Kuf has to be Kibas Chof. The same intensity that we put in to the Yancha Hashem B'yayim Sara has to be put into the thank you and the joy and the Mizmor L'Saida. Take a look a little bit later. The Pasuk tells us that Avram Avinu went to eulogize Sara Vilif Kaisa and to cry, to wail about Sara. But of course we know that there's a small chaf in the word Vilif Kaisa. Listen to an extraordinary pshat from the Kilas Yitzchak. The Kilas Yitzchak asks two questions on the pasuk that we just referenced once again in the very beginning of the parsha, when it says, "Vayavay Avram lispoid l'sara vilif kaisa." He was eulogizing and crying about her, having found out about her death. Now, of course, we know Rashi tells us. Look at the Rashi on the words "Vayavay Avram." The reason why the death of Sara is juxtaposed with Akedas Yitzchak is because, as a result of hearing of the news about Akedas Yitzchak, and that her son was being readied for Shechita, for slaughter, that is when her neshama left and she died. That's why these two events are juxtaposed, because one brought about the other. Hearing about the news about Akedas Yitzchak, that's what caused Sara to die. Based on this, Rashi, the Sefer Kilas Yitzchak, asks two very powerful questions. Number one, what is the job of Satan? What is the purpose and the job that Satan has been given with each and every one of us? To try to get us to sin, to commit an Aveira, and to deter us from doing good. How did he fulfill that purpose by causing the death of Sara? If his job is to get us, and his goal is to get us to sin and deter us from doing good, how was that goal accomplished by the death of Sara? And secondly, we know that the Balaturim tells us the reason why there's a small chaf in the word I just referenced, Rilav Kaisa, is Avram cried a little bit for Sara. Yeah, we know the Chazal tells us, the Gemara in Shabbos, tells us that when there's a righteous person, it's a mitzvah to cry for a righteous person, and those tears are stored in a treasure house by Hashem. So why did Avram only cry a little bit? Sara was such a tzaddikah, she was so righteous. And we just quoted the Gemara in Shabbos that says it's a mitzvah to cry. Why then did he only cry a little bit? Listen to the answer of the Kilas Yitzchak, how he answers both questions with one fundamental concept. Rabbi Yisai, when Satan wants to get us to commit an Aveira, he has two ways that he could get us to transgress. You are about to do a mitzvah. The first thing Satan tries when you're about to perform that positive commandment, that mitzvah I say, the first thing he does, he wants to deter you. He wants to stop you from performing the mitzvah. But if the person performs the mitzvah, despite all of Satan's attempts, Satan was not successful, and you went ahead and performed the mitzvah, then he tries a second tactic. You know what that is? He wants you to regret and to have charata that you did the mitzvah in the first place. Doesn't that sound familiar? You know how many times we've probably experienced that, and I dare say almost daily? Take a look at the Akedah. Avram was on his way to slaughter Yitzchak, so Satan first tried his first tactic. He wanted to get in the way because he knew that the schus of this great act was going to stand la'olam as an everlasting merit. So what does he do? Chazal tell us, and we mentioned this last week, that there were many, many obstacles that he tried. First, he turned himself into a raging river. And he put that in the path of Avram on the way to the Akedah. Effort after effort to deter Avram from performing the mitzvah in the first place. But when that didn't work, and Avram and Yitzchak performed the mitzvah, they went wholeheartedly, they went with alacrity, they went in the best possible way, Satan wasn't ready to concede. Now he tried his second tactic. What's his second tactic? To make the person regret and have charata that they did it in the first place. And he tried to get Avram to regret what he did. He told Sarah about the Akedah, and that caused her death. Satan figured once Avram realized that the Akedah caused the death of his wife, he would regret that which he did. So Avram Avinu, knowing that was Satan's second tactic, he knew that if he would shed many tears for Sarah, of course it's a mitzvah to shed many tears, but he knew that if he would do that, maybe many people would misconstrue those tears. And what would they think the tears were? What would they think the tears were? They would think it was tears of sadness, tears of charata, tears of remorse, that which he did, the Akedah caused her death. So he deliberately cried v'liv kaisa only a little bit, just enough to fulfill the obligation for a righteous person, but not more, so that people wouldn't think he had regret. And so that Satan was not successful, not in his first attempt, nor in his second attempt. How beautiful is that pshat? And I once heard that that's the explanation in Ma'ariv. Right before Shemoneh Esrei, we say the Brach of Hashkiveinu. And what do we say in the Brach of Hashkiveinu? V'hoser Satan milfaneinu u'me'achareinu. I once heard someone say, please, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm on my way to perform a mitzvah. I'm asking for help. V'hoser Satan milfaneinu. Remove Satan from before I perform the mitzvah. I want to perform that mitzvah. Get rid of Satan. Don't let him stop me. And after I perform the mitzvah, remove Satan me'achareinu. From after I perform the mitzvah, I don't want to have charata. I don't want to have regret and remorse and start wondering, why do I do it? And that's why in the Hashkiveinu we have in mind the Hoser Satan milfaneinu u'me'achareinu. Please don't let Satan be successful in either of his two attempts. Not before I do it. In other words, let me successfully do the mitzvah. And after I do it, let me be proud. Let me feel good. Remove Satan me'achareinu that I don't feel any regret and remorse. Rabbi Sai, sometimes a person gives tzedakah and they feel extraordinary about the fact that they gave because they weren't up to giving and they pushed themselves. And then after they give, the doubts start to gnaw at them. Why did I give that amount? Is that person really worthy? What was I thinking? And although I just gave the example of tzedakah, you know that we could apply it to many mitzvahs that we do on a daily basis. Let's daven v'hoser Satan l'faneinu me'achareinu, that number one, Satan is removed from before us, that we successfully perform the mitzvah, and then afterwards, don't have charata. Don't have feelings of regret or remorse about the chesed or the achrasos arachim or the shir or the Torah or the davening or the mitzvah or the tzedakah. Whatever it is, don't have. But continue with that good feeling. Satan, you lost l'faneinu, and you also lost Me'achreinu. The Pasuk tells us, it's the Pasuk that we just quoted, that Avram came to eulogize Sarah. I have to introduce this pshat. I normally would go straight to the pshat, but I feel, Libi Eimerli, I have to give a quick introduction. I just saw this pshat from Reb Simcha Sheps. Reb Simcha HaKoyen Sheps, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, and I found it to be one of the most phenomenal, poignant, and extraordinary pshatim I've ever seen in my life. And it really should be a guiding pshat for us. And I felt that the introduction was appropriate, and now you'll hear the pshat. The pasuk we just quoted tells us that Sarah died, Avram came to eulogize her, to cry for her. The Medrash says on the words that Vayavai Avraham, which is found in this Pasuk Beis, Vayavai Avram came, Zok the Medrash, where did he come from? That's what the Medrash asks. where did he come from? And the Medrash answers he came from Har HaMoria. So it seems like the Medrash is giving us a geographic answer. The Pasuk says, Vayavai Avram, Avram came. The Medrash says, from where did he come? And the answer is from Har HaMoria. It says, Rav Simcha Kayin Sheps, a powerful way to read these words of the Medrash. Again, remember what the words of the Medrash are. Where did he come from? He came from Har HaMoria. Avram is getting up now to eulogize his beloved wife, Sarah Imenu. He has so many things to say about that life that Sarah led. The uniqueness and how special she was to so many people in so many different ways. He had a dilemma. Where do you begin? Where do you come from? Where do you start from? All of the things. How could I encapsulate every good deed, everything? How do I do that? And that is what the Medrash is saying. Avraham, from where did he come? Avram, from where is he going to come? From which aspect of her life is he going to begin? From where is he going to come and begin describing Sarah Imenu's greatness? Where should he start? What could he say that could encapsulate dozens and dozens and hundreds of positive traits? From where did he come? How do you answer the dilemma? From where did he come? From where did he start? What is the lasting imprint that he could say that would sum it all up? And the Medrash answers from Har HaMoria. Moria is from the word Hayra'a. And Hayra'a means to instruct. And he was telling all those that were listening to his eulogy, all of Sarah's life, her mission, her ultimate achievement, everything that she accomplished, all that she was to so many people, myriads upon myriads of midos, could all be summed up in one attribute. Har HaMoria, from the word Hayra'a. Hayra'a means to instruct. Instruct means her education and her direction and all of the instruction that she provided for Yitzchak, for her child, for all those that were looking for her guidance. She understood to lead a life of Hayra'a, where you give people direction, where you give people instruction, where people are educated just by watching you. She never lost sight of that objective. She had so many responsibilities. How many times are people so busy and busy and busy? Don't forget the children. Don't forget the Hayra'a, the direction, the instruction, the guidance. And that's the way Reb Simcha Kayin Sheps translates the Medrash. From where did Avram come? How was he going to encapsulate all of the many qualities and midos? Where could he come from? This was his dilemma. How can I say it in just one sentence? And the Medrash answers, Har HaMoria, from the word Hayra'a. She never lost sight. Her objective and her sole purpose towards her children and towards all those who turned to her was to guide, to be a beacon of education, direction, and instruction. And once you make that your focal point, then all of the other midos, all of the other qualities begin falling into place because, after all, my children are relying on me. My family's counting on me. My community needs me. So if you lead a life of Har HaMoria Hayra'a, then everything else has its proper value. Rabbis, I'm only going to ask you for a moment to internalize the pshat that we just said. We've mentioned many times how sometimes a person today gets so busy. A person can have their days turn into nights, into weeks and months. Where'd all the time go? Don't let the Hayra'a pass you by. The ability to guide and direct and instruct and educate. Because the Medrash is encapsulating everything in just that one concept. And that's why I felt that the introduction to the Pshat was so critical, because I think it's something that we could all learn from. Take a look a little bit later on. The Pasuk talks to us about the gift that was given. Chav Dalet Chav Beis. The gift that was given to Rivka. Eliezer had a mission. Eliezer had to, and hopefully would be successful, getting Rivka for Yitzchak, and he was. And now it came time, the Pasuk tells us, Perichav Dalet, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayikach Ha'ish. And he took and he gave her these gifts. Nezem Zohav, he gave a golden nose ring where the weight was a beka. What does the Pasuk then say? He gave her Shnei Tzimidim al Yadeha, two bracelets on her arm. What are these gifts to represent? Of course, there's a very famous Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. The reason that he gave her a golden nose ring where the weight was specifically a beka, says Rashi, it was a remez to the shkolim, the half shekel that was brought, about which it says, beka la gilgalas. And then Rashi says, he gave her two bracelets. What does Rashi say why he gave two bracelets? Rashi tells us it was a reference to the shnei luchais, to the two luchais. I'll share with you very quickly two pshatim. There's a beautiful pshat brought down from the Maral. The Maral explains why these two gifts were so important. We know that the mission of us tells us that the world stands on three pillars. What are those three pillars? Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasodim. Listen to a beautiful pshat from the Maral. The Maral says, we are well aware of the fact that Rivka had just passed in the whole story with the giving of the water and the camels. It was the epitome of chesed. Every step of how she drew the water and gave the water, the order of how she did it, was mamish the quintessence of chesed. So she definitely passed the critical test, and beyond any shadow of a doubt was proven she's a balas chesed. But we know that the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, there are three pillars on which the world exists, and a home of kiddush and purity has to be built on a pillar of chesed, but also on a pillar of avoda, and also on the pillar of Torah. We said a moment ago, those are the three pillars, Torah, avoda, and chesed. Says the Maral so beautifully, this is what Eliezer was referencing to Rivka. Of course you passed the test, and I see that you're the ultimate balas chesed. At the same time, says the Maral, the reason why these two gifts were given specifically, we said that there was a nose ring that the weight was a beka. And Rashi said the beka was a reference to the shekel. It was those shkolim that were used to purchase karbonis. Karbonis is the pillar of avoda. And then we said that there were two bracelets given, and that signified the luchais. And the luchai signifies the learning of the Torah. Eliezer was telling Rivka, in order to build a home in Klal Yisrael, we have to excel in chesed and avoda and Torah. Clearly the episode with the water and the camel showed her excelling in chesed, and now the Maral was adding, one also excels in avoda and Torah. And so he specifically gave those two gifts. The gift of the nose ring where the weight was a beka, which is a reference to the shekel, and the shekel is used to purchase karbonos, which is avoda, and the two bracelets, which references the luchais, which is the pillar of Torah. But did you notice when I read Rashi, I deliberately left out a word? I think somebody even called out that I left it out. Take a look at the Rashi. Rashi says that he gave two bracelets. Ushnei tzimidim, zok Rashi, two bracelets, as an allusion to the two luchais, but I left out a word. What's the word I left out? Mitzumadois. The luchais were joined. They were joined together. What's Rashi teaching me with that word? The point is that he gave her the gift of two bracelets. Two bracelets is a reference and an allusion to the two luchais, a life of Torah. Why is Rashi adding the word mitzumadois? And by the way, the luchais, they were joined together. What's Rashi teaching me? The Sefer Ber Yosef says something so extraordinary. Five of the Dibros, five of the commandments that we have on the right-hand side, We know those are all Bein Adam LaMakom, between man and Hashem. The second five that are on the left-hand side, those are the ones that are Bein Adam LaChaveru, between man and fellow man. Says the Sefer Bar Yosef, Rashi is teaching us. The two bracelets were a reference to the Luchos, which is a life of Torah. But take a look at the two Luchos. They were Mitzumadot. They were joined together. The five of Bein Adam LaChaveroi must be joined together with the five of Bein Adam LaMakom, because someone who only fulfills the mitzvahs between man and Hashem, but he does not fulfill and he negates the mitzvahs Bein Adam LaChaveroi, has not accomplished the Aseres Hadibrois. Similarly, somebody who does the five of Bein Adam LaChaveroi without taking care of the five that are Bein Adam LaMakom hasn't fulfilled his obligation to the Torah. So Rashi goes out of his way, says the Sefer Bar Yosef, to tell us Rivka and Yitzchak are now building a home, and it's a reminder for us in the year Tovshin Pei Beis. The two bracelets were a reference to the two Luchos, but the two Luchos were Mitzumadot. They were joined together. The five of Bein Adam LaMakom on the right-hand side with the five of Bein Adam LaChaver on the left-hand side must always be joined together, because to think that a person could fulfill one without the other, you haven't fulfilled the Luchos. The Luchos are only fulfilled when they are Mitzumadot. One must fulfill all of the obligations Bein Adam LaChaveroi, which go hand in hand with those of Bein Adam LaMakom. And that's why Rashi is telling us not only that the two bracelets are a reference to the Luchos, but the Luchos must be for perpetuity, Mitzumadot. We can't have the Hira that I mentioned earlier, the direction, the guidance, the instruction to our children or to others, where we teach them about Bein Adam LaMakom but negate the other, or vice versa. We have to lead a life of Mitzumadot. And I want to conclude with one final pshat. We've mentioned it in the past. If you take a look a little bit later on in this perek at Pasuk Samach, Perek Chavdal at Pasuk Samach, I apologize, a bit after that, Samach Hey. Eliezer is walking with Rivka, and Yitzchak is approaching. And the Pasuk says that she turned to the Eved, she turned to Eliezer, and she said, Mi'o'ish halazeh, who is that that's walking towards us? Now, who was it that was walking towards them? It was Yitzchak. But take a look at what Eliezer answers. Eliezer says to Rivka, Hu Adoni, it's my master. But Eliezer's master was Avraham, and the one walking towards them was Yitzchak. Were you never bothered by that kasha? The one that was approaching Rivka and Eliezer was Yitzchak, and yet, when Eliezer answered Rivka and Pasuk Samachai, he said, Hu Adoni, it is my master, but my master was Avraham, not Yitzchak. And secondly, grammatically, what does the Pasuk mean when it says the words, Mi'o'ish halozeh? How do you explain what seems to be an extra lamed? Why didn't Rivka just ask Eliezer, Mi'o'ish hazeh? Who's the man approaching us? What did she mean with the extra lamed when she said, Mi'o'ish halozeh? If you want to say, who is this? You say, Mi'o'ish hazeh. What's halozeh with the lamed? Years ago, I heard one of the most beautiful explanations, and it answers both questions, and with this we'll conclude. The lamed in Lashon HaKodesh very often means to connect two things together. Or if a person is in one place and they're going li New York, li Miami, it's connecting where they are to where they're going. You know, Rabbi Isai, when we walk, we're not walking alone. We never walk alone. We walk with the schusim of our mothers and our fathers, of the avos and imahos. We walk together with the merits of our abayim and our teachers and our gedolim. Of course we walk with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We walk with all of those rabbeim and all of those parents and grandparents that influenced our life. When Rivka turned to Eliezer and saw somebody approaching, she was not asking about the man that she saw. The one that she saw straight ahead of her, that was Yitzchak. If she meant who was that man that I see, she would have said, Mio ish hazeh. But she saw Yitzchak. She was asking. She saw people accompanying Yitzchak. People, so to speak, walking with Yitzchak. And so she asked, not Mio ish hazeh. The answer to that would have been Yitzchak. She asked, Mio ish hazeh. Mio ish hazeh. Who's the one walking with the person I see? Who's the one accompanying the person I see? And to that Eliezer said, oh, you see the one that's accompanying Yitzchak? Hu Adoni. That's my master, Avram Avinu. And that one explanation answers both questions, and that means Rivka was up to the task. Rivka passed in the Shayon. She realized, Eliezer realized, that she saw not only Yitzchak approaching, but the merits and the people approaching with Yitzchak. Had she meant who was Yitzchak, all she needed to say was, Mio ish hazeh. What did she say? Mio ish halozeh. Who is that with the person I see? Who is with the one I see? Who's accompanying the one I see? Oh. You have the greatness to see that somebody is accompanying Yitzchak. Hu Adoni. That, says Eliezer, is my master, Avram Avinu. And that shows us the spiritual greatness of Rivka, the spiritual uniqueness of Rivka. She not only saw the person that was approaching, but she saw the people accompanying and approaching together with Yitzchak. And that's another way Eliezer knew of the extraordinary greatness of Rivka. And I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, that wherever we go, we realize we're not just going as Hazeh, but we're always going as Halozeh. We're accompanied by the Avos, by the Imois, by our Rebbeim, by the Tzadikim. And understanding Halozeh should always give us the ability to fulfill the Torah, Mitzumadais. Join together the Bein Adam LaChaveiroi with the Bein Adam LaMokim. That would be a way to fulfill Har HaMiriyah, Hira'ah, instruction, direction, to be able to help people and to always be able to care one for another.